To be honest with you, I don't know if I'd have the chutzpah to say to my mother some of the things that Jesus said to his. For instance, in John's gospel, when Mary came to Jesus about a wine shortage, he said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me?" Now, I guarantee you, if I had called my mother woman, I would have paid for it. In today's gospel, when we're told his family's outside asking for him, he replies, "Who is my mother and my brothers?" Again, the sort of thing where I could picture Mary dragging him down the street by his ear, saying, "Just you wait until your father hears about this." Not a happy scene considering who that father is. So I don't think we're out of line if we ask, what the heck's going on in this gospel? Why does Jesus treat his family as he does? What's the deal there? In order to get clean on this, it's helpful to do a little probing about the context, to ask some questions and take a look at the culture in which Jesus is living. First of all, he's traveling. The story goes he's gone around the Lake of Galilee and he's casting out demons. He's healing diseased and broken people. He arrives in the gospel in a place that might be said to be his home. His family's there with him. He sent out disciples prior to this to do the same kind of healing that he's doing, but now he's home and he goes into a house, probably because somebody's asked him to perform another healing. There are people crowded around the house, people at the door. Each day the crowds had been growing, and at that particular house, as he enters it, they're surrounding it. And his reputation has grown enormously. But this time there's something new. This time when Jesus goes into the house, his family's decided he's gone too far. This time his family senses that he's cut himself off from them and from the security that they would hold in that setting. And suddenly they're afraid that Jesus has lost all sense of reality. He's gone out of his mind, they say. Now, if we think about it for a minute, America has often considered itself to have a corner on the market on family values. But I think we'd probably be wise to look at first century Palestine in comparison. In our culture, in spite of all the talk about family values, we still hold an enormous amount of emphasis on rugged individualism. In fact, in our country, you could say the individual is the smallest social unit. But that's not the way it was in Jesus' time and place. In Jesus' time, the family was the foundation on which the society was built. The family was the smallest social unit. Family identity was one's primary identity. Family always came first. Its individual members always secondary. So according to the cultural family values of Jesus' time, Jesus should have settled down with his family, should have settled down in their town, should have probably set up a family business. And from what the gospel's implying, that would probably be the healing business. In such a world, his family would be his brokers, the people who stood on the street and collected money for those who wanted to go into the house to be healed. All of this was the way things were done. That's the way it was. It was done for the betterment of family and the betterment of town, people. Everyone was supposed to benefit from this strange gift that Jesus had going. But instead, what we found is Jesus kept on the road. He kept going beyond his family, beyond the town, bringing healing to those who needed it, regardless of where they were. He had, if you will, to start new every day in every new place he encountered. There was no way to run healing ministry like that. And that was no way to treat his family, especially given those Mediterranean cultural values. So the confrontation between Jesus and his family comes to a head when he asks, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" "Here are my mother and my brothers," he replies. "Whoever does the will of God is my mother, my brother, and my sister." In doing so, Jesus is defying and denying all traditional powers in his society, which are ascribed to family. He is saying that he will not allow the gifts of healing that he holds to be contained or controlled by anything. He will not allow God's reign to be bought and sold by family or anyone else. And even more than this, Jesus is naming a new community. A community with a kind of identity and a new kind of membership. In naming this new community, he names it with identity not built on family. In this new community, identity is based on relationship with God, a relationship that's open to absolutely everyone. No longer is one's identity or position dependent on one's family, one's status within community. No longer is one's identity even based on one's ethnicity or gender identification. In this new community that Jesus establishes, all people are equal. All people have equal access to God. And you know what? That's precisely the community we're inviting theater into today. A community that is open to all and equal to all, and where all have equal access to God. This new community that Jesus calls into existence is an open community, is an equally accessible to all community. In Jesus, God has reached out to break out every barrier that divides humankind from one another. This message is the cornerstone of the Christian proclamation. It's the cornerstone of the gospel. There are no longer barriers. Nothing can be allowed to separate us from God or one another. Not power, not race, nor family, not class, not gender, not sexual orientation, not gender identity. Nothing can separate us from God and one another. Through Christ, we are all brothers and sisters to all people. We are all members of the household of God. That's the good news that's being shared with us this morning. That's the good news for us, and that's the good news we're called to proclaim to the world. Amen.